This morning I have 3 points, but really I only have one objective. My objective this morning is to get you to put your hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he will never fail. That's the title of my message this morning, Jesus Never Fails. You know, different people put their hope and trust in different things. There are people that put their trust in their spouse. It's wonderful to have a wonderful spouse, spouses that care for one another. But as several in this room can testify, sometimes spouses fail. But Jesus never fails. There's some people that put their faith and their trust in their job, in their profession, in their vocation, however you want to say it. And it's wonderful to have a good job. But I'll just tell you that the company that you work for, the job that you have, may fail. But Jesus never fails. Some people put their faith and their trust in their church, and it's good to have a wonderful church that preaches the gospel. But again, as some of us know, sometimes churches fail. But Jesus never fails. Some people put their trust and their hope in their friends, and it's good to have wonderful friends, but there are occasions when friends fail. But Jesus never fails. Now, I'll be honest with you this morning. I was torn in two directions as I thought about the message, prayed about the message, looked for the Holy Spirit to tell me what to preach. One of the things I thought about preaching this morning were to talk about the characteristics of Christ that never fail. There are several things about Jesus that characterize him that we know never fail. For example, and by the way, this is not the direction I'm going, so don't think when I get done with this, I'm done. I'm just telling you what I'm not going to preach this morning. Jesus' love never fails. Jesus will always love us. In the book of Isaiah, the Bible says, I have loved you, God says, with an everlasting love. Paul, in the book of Romans, in chapter 8, he talks about the love of God and the love of Christ. And he says in that chapter, there is nothing in this world, above the world, below the world, no human being, no spiritual being, nobody, nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And so Christ's love for us is a thing that will never fail. You can always depend on Jesus loving you. Jesus' patience never fails. The Bible says he is long-suffering. And I'm so glad that we have a Savior who is long-suffering. I'm glad we don't have a Savior who gets impatient with us. Because if he got impatient with anybody, he'd surely get impatient with me. And so I'm glad we have a God whose patience, we have a Savior whose patience never fails. Jesus' forgiveness never fails. He forgives, not only forgives, but forgets. And we can claim his forgiveness over and over and over again. And those are just three of the characteristics. I could probably list 20 this morning of things that Jesus, that make up his character, that make up his being, and say to you, they never fail. But the Holy Spirit led in a different direction. And so this morning, I have 3 points. Again, I have one objective. I want you to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to mention 3 areas of life where we need to do that. And make the point that in these areas of life, Jesus never fails. So here we go. Number one, Jesus never fails to provide the daily necessities of life. Think about the things that we need on a daily basis to keep our life going. And we need food on a daily basis. Some of us, as I found out when I put my overalls on this morning and I didn't have as much room in them as I had last year, could probably do without as much food as we need on a daily basis. And I'll just preach to myself for a minute. I am one that could do that. But we need food on a daily basis. We need water on a daily basis. Some of you need coffee on a daily basis. Some of you need Pepsi on a daily basis. And I don't have time to mention all our vices this morning, but there are things that we think we need on a daily basis to sustain life. We need clothes to wear. We need shelter. And I want you to know that our Savior never will fail to provide those things that we need to sustain life on a daily basis. We can just look back. We can look to the Israelites as they were on their way to the promised land and paying the price of their sin for not going in and wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Every day, Jesus provided for them what they needed. He sent manna from heaven 6 days a week and double the portion on day six so they wouldn't have to work and gather food on the Sabbath day. When they wanted meat, he would send quail into the camp. He gave them water from the rock. He gave them clothing that never wore out. He gave them shoes that grew as their feet grew so they wouldn't have to get new shoes. He gave them a cloud by day to provide shade in the day and guidance in the day, and a pillar of fire by night to give them warmth in the night and direction in the night. Everything that they needed on a daily basis to sustain their life was provided to them by God. And Jesus says, I'll meet your every need. He knows what we need. He said, I'll meet your every need. You never have to worry about Jesus failing to deliver what we need on a daily basis. Look back at Elijah and see how God meets the necessities of life. There was a famine in the land. God led Elijah to a brook, and he drank the waters from the brook, and God had the ravens or the vultures bring food to him. Not a very good waiter, but if you're hungry, I guess you'll eat anything that comes your way. And when the brook dried up, God led Elijah to a widow who, with just a little pot of oil and a little barrel of meal, provided for him throughout the famine until the famine ended. God knew what he needed, what Elijah needed on a daily basis, and he provided it on a daily basis. You can move forward to the New Testament. Look at that time when Jesus was preaching and there were 5,000 men and women and children gathered to hear him preach and to hear him teach, and it became dinner time. And the disciples came to Christ and said, send the people away. They need to go eat. They're gonna get weak and faint here in the wilderness. Send them into the cities to buy food. And Jesus said, no, we don't need to send them away. I'm the one that provides the necessities of life. Let's feed them ourselves. And the disciples said, you know how much money it would take to buy food to feed all these people? We don't have that much money. And Jesus said, well, what have we got? And little Andrew says, Master, there's a little boy here. He's got a little lunch. He's got 5 little pieces of bread and 2 little pieces of fish. But what is that among so many? And Jesus said, that's all I need. Just have the people sit down. He numbered them and set them in groups of 50s and 100. And he took that little boy's lunch and looked to heaven and blessed that lunch and began to break the bread and began to break the fish. And he fed the 5,000 men and the women and children, probably 15,000 people that were there, and said, hey, gather up. We don't want anything to waste it. And they gathered up 12 baskets full of leftovers. Listen to me, we have a Savior who knows what we need, and he promises us, I will give you what you need on a daily basis. I will provide the daily necessities of life. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? He said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, shall he not much more clothe you? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have a God that knows what we need on a daily basis, and we have a God who promises us, I will never fail, I will never fail to give you what you need on a daily basis. So let me ask you this morning, what do you have your hope in? What do you have your hope in for the daily necessities of life? Some people might say, well, my hope is in my own strength. And you ought to praise God for the strength that he's given you to work. And we ought to work. The book of James says if you don't work, you don't eat. But one day, the strength that you use to provide for yourself may fail. But I want you to know this morning, Jesus will never fail. He will always give us what we need on a daily basis. Some people may say, well, my hope for the daily necessities of life is in my job, in the company I work for. If you would have asked me 15 years ago, preacher, do you think the company that you work for is solid? Do you think you'll last and be the same throughout time? I would have given you an unequivocal yes. But let me tell you, as somebody who used to work for GM, the company that you work for, it could fail tomorrow. It could go belly up tomorrow. And the hope that you have in that job, and it's wonderful to have a good job, it's wonderful to work for a good company, but that company may fail. That pension that you work for may fail. But I want to tell you something this morning. We have a Savior who knows what we need on a daily basis, and he doesn't need a pension from GM. He doesn't need a pension from anybody else to feed us. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got more steak in his freezer than Brother Paul does. We have a Savior who has an unlimited amount of resources and can meet the needs that we have on a daily basis. He will never fail. Some people say, well, my hope's in my family. My hope's in my mom and dad. My hopes are in my husband or my wife. And praise God for a good family. Praise God for a mom and dad that took care of you when you were young. Thank God for spouses that take care of one another. But one day, parents may fail. One day, spouses may fail. But I want to tell you something. We have a God. We have a Savior who will never fail. And he knows what we need on a daily basis. And he has promised and he has staked his reputation as God on that promise that he will give us what we need day by day. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He never fails. Number two, Jesus never fails to help us get through the trials of life. When Joshua faced the biggest battle of his life, it was the captain of the Lord's army, captain of the Lord's host that came to give him his battle plan. When Gideon was about to go to war, the angel of the Lord came and met with him. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, there was a fourth person who was there, and it was a heathen king who said, "The fourth person in the furnace has the form of the Son of God." I'm going to take a detour just for a minute. You don't tell me that verse in Philippians is not true. You don't tell me that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Don't try to tell me that verse is not true. I'll point you back to the book of Daniel. I'll point you back to the fiery furnace where a wicked heathen king looked into the furnace and said, "There's Jesus. There's the Christ. There's the Messiah." And if a wicked heathen king will recognize Jesus, so will every person. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that he's the Son of God. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den after safely making it through the night, he said, "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth." When a woman who had been sick most of her life and spent all that she had on doctors to no avail came to Jesus, he healed her. When a mother came praying for her sick daughter, Jesus says, "As thou wilt, so shall it be." And she went home and found her daughter healed. When a father came with a sick boy, a boy possessed of a demon, Jesus cast out that demon and restored his son to his father. When two sisters grieved at the grave of their brother, Jesus came and says, "Lazarus, come forth." And their grieving turned into joy as their brother hopped out of the grave in his grave cloths. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Let me ask you this morning, what's your heartache? What's your trial? Every person, we can't avoid it. Every single person goes through times of trials and testing. All of us face times that Satan wants to put us through the sifter. He did to Job. He accused Job before God, and God said, "Okay, you can have him.
Just don't kill him. And Satan put Job through the test. And yet Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Jesus told Peter, said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan wants to do the same thing to us. We're warned about it in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You see, Jesus knows the trials that we go through. He knows the hard times that we go through. We don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. It tells us in the book of Hebrews. But in all points, he was tempted like as we. We have a Savior that knows what it is to experience the heartaches and the trials and the hard times of life. But he'll never, ever fail to be there with us. A lot of people want God to keep them out of those hard times. They say, well, if God's really God, he could avoid me going through this time. He could fix everything up. I wouldn't have to suffer like this. I wouldn't have to hurt like this. My heart wouldn't have to break like this. And Jesus never promised to keep us out of hard times, but he made this promise, I'll be there with you. Amen. I'll never fail to be there with you, and we'll get through them. He'll never fail to forgive us what we need for the necessities of life on a daily basis. That's why he has in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. He'll give us what we need. He'll never fail to be there to help us through the trials of life. And then number three, he'll never fail to keep us for eternity. You know, the daily necessities of life are important, but eternity is more important. Getting through the hard times of life is important, but eternity is more important. Let me ask you this morning as I close, what is your hope for eternity? Some people here this morning might say, well, I'm depending on my good works. And you know, to do good works, that's a wonderful thing. We ought to do good. But what happens when you run into a dry spell of good works? What happens when you get frustrated with the world and say, I ain't going to be good anymore? What happens then? If your hope for eternity is in your good works, then you're in trouble when you quit doing them. Some people might say, well, my hope for eternity is in my church membership. And I think church membership is a wonderful thing. I think you ought to find your good church, and I think you ought to join it, that where God leads you. But what happens when something happens to the church and you quit? What happens to your hope for eternity then? Some people say, well, my hope for eternity is in baptism and communion. And I think getting baptized is a wonderful thing. But as we talked about in Sunday school, baptism doesn't add anything to salvation. I think taking the Lord's Supper is a wonderful thing. But ask Lynn. She was down with her daughter. She didn't get to take communion for almost 6 months. First time she got back, she said, I'm so excited we're having communion. That's the way we ought to feel all the time. But listen, getting baptized and taking the Lord's Supper, it doesn't make you any more fit for heaven than good works or than church membership will. No, the only hope for eternity that will work is when you put your hope in Christ. Amen. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I referred to the thief on the cross this morning in Sunday school. Thief on the cross. He was a criminal. He was a murderer. He hung beside Jesus, deserving of what he was receiving at the Romans' hands. He couldn't do any good works as he hung on the cross. He couldn't join a church. He couldn't get baptized or take the Lord's Supper as he hung on the cross. And yet he could do the one thing that's required. He turned and looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus looked back at him and he said, today today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's the only thing that will work for eternity. That's the only hope that mankind has for eternity, is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary for all of us. You see, all of us were sinners. We've all fallen short and come short of the glory of God. There's a penalty for that sin. That penalty is to be separated from God. And there was nothing that we could do to pay the price of our sin except to die and be apart from God forever and ever. But God loved us so much that he sent his son to die on a cross. And as Jesus hung on the cross, God laid on him every one of my sins and every one of your sins. And Christ paid the penalty. He paid the price that we owed. And because he did, he's able to offer to every person the gift of life. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. What's your hope for eternity? If it's anything else other than Jesus Christ, it won't work. I'm sorry, you may have good intentions and you may be very sincere in what you believe, but you better believe what this book says. And this book says that Jesus is the only hope that we have for eternity. If you're here today and you've never received him, I would invite you to do that. This gift of life that he paid for on Calvary, he offers to every person. He paid for your sins. You might not have known it, and this may be the first time you're actually hearing about it, but he paid for your sins. And if you'll come and you'll put your hope for eternity in him and what he did on Calvary, not anything that you can do, not any price that you can pay, not any work that you can do, but you put your faith and your hope in him, he said, I'll give you a home. I'll give you a home in heaven. I'll forgive your sins. I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can be one of my children. That's what God offers to every single person. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. Brother Wendell sang about it. There's power in that blood. Power to take a sinner and clean him up, make him fit for the kingdom of God. If you've never let the blood operate on you, cleanse you from your sin, would you do it this morning? Would you do it? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for a Savior that never fails. He'll never fail to give us what we need on a daily basis. He'll never fail to be with us when we go through the hard times of life. And he'll never fail to keep us for eternity. We read in our scripture reading a moment ago, Father, all those that you've given me, I haven't lost any, except for Judas, the son of perdition, but I've kept them. And he'll do the same thing for us. We put our faith and trust in him, he'll keep us for all eternity. And I pray for those that are here that have never done that. I pray that they would see their sin. I pray that they would come to the Savior and trust him. If there's Christians here, Father, that need to make other decisions, maybe there's somebody here that needs to get baptized. Maybe there's somebody here that you've talked to about joining the church and they need to come and join the church. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd make your will clear and they'd be obedient. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.